want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome, everyone, to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Pauline, and today I am going to... So it's kind of funny to me because you guys know how a lot of times I pick my topics based upon current situations, personal situations, personal ideas or things that I want to look into just for personal use, and because of something that I've learned, I've read, or I overheard someone talking about, and so I'm interested, so I do some research and I bring it to the show. And this show, of course, this episode is no different than any of those others, and I think it's pretty important when it comes to health and wellness. I think a really big part of our health, and especially our wellness, is our relationships and having healthy relationships. I think when we're down about a loved one or down about a friend or a significant other, it can really take its toll on our health and on our wellness and just like our upkeep and how we feel and things like that. But then on the other side, when our relationships are on the up and up and we're happy and things like that, it can be a lot easier to be, you know, we feel better. We just do. And I think one major part of having a healthy relationship and a fun, loving, caring relationship starts off with the art of conversation, how we talk to one another. If you're a really good conversationalist, then you tend to be able to make more friends. And not necessarily that you can make better friends, but you know, you can, things aren't as awkward because, you don't necessarily have to be a extrovert to be a really good conversationalist. You don't necessarily have to be really outgoing. You can be outgoing and not be a really good conversationalist. You can love to talk and love to have the attention and steal the room and things like that. But if you are boring to talk to, if you're just, you know, loud and exciting and things like that, but you're kind of boring to talk to, or you're not good at having a conversation, you always talk over others, or you quickly get frustrated when perhaps someone disagrees with you, then, you know, it can be kind of boring to talk to you, or it can be frustrating to talk to you, and maybe you're just not a good conversationalist. So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because you are a extrovert or you're very outgoing that you're necessarily a good conversationalist, and then vice versa. Just because you're more quiet and reserved and you're more of an introvert doesn't mean that you don't know how to hold an engaging conversation. So in this episode of the podcast, I wanted to give some tips, some pointers, some rules, some, you know, ideas on how to up your conversation game. So first off is, and you may think that this is pretty obvious, but it can't be. It's not, and it's not always the situation, but if you're going to have a conversation with someone, or someone strikes up a conversation, or you start talking to someone, be genuinely interested in the person. Just be genuine. That's the first part, you know, actually be interested. About them? What do they enjoy doing? Who is the person? You know, or if you're meeting for the first time, being interested in getting to know them. You know, these, you know, what do you like? What does that person like? Why are they coming to you? You know, what is it that they're coming to you about? Like, be generally interested and curious about the person. Don't dismiss them. Don't belittle them. Don't write them off or anything like that. Just being actually interested in them. Because honestly, if you're not interested, if you don't care about them, why are you really talking to them? So, you know, be interested in the person themselves, not just the conversation or the topic, but truly be interested in the person themselves. And then also another thing is to focus on the positive. So, you know, looking at the bright side of things can help conversations. Not being a Debbie Downer can definitely help you in conversations, because if you're someone who's always complaining, someone who's always pointing out negative things, something that someone who, you know, spoils things, like if you're the person who gives away the end of a movie or gives away the book, or especially I know a lot of people are really into weekly watching certain shows and sticking up with the seasons of all these shows. So if you're that guy who tells the person what happened in last night's episode when they already told you that they haven't seen it, people aren't going to want to talk to you all the time because you spoil it. And so, you know, that can be difficult. Or if you're someone who's always complaining or someone who's always pointing out negative things. Now, there are some times when we do have to point out negative situations or negative occurrences, negative situations for the buildup and the betterment of others. Or, you know, if, you know, you can't help it if today, like, you can't help it if this morning you're having a bad morning and you share that with a friend. Sometimes you do need to share that, and it is good to share that. But if you're constantly saying, you know, like complaining about the weather, oh, it's raining today, and, you know, it rained yesterday, I'm just over all the rain, and, you know, tomorrow it says it's going to rain as well as Friday, and Friday I was supposed to go to the park, but it's raining, you know, people don't want to hear all that all the time. We don't really want to hear you complaining. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't complain, and I'm not saying, because there are times when, you know, it sucks. It's raining all weekend and I had plans on Friday, but you know, but then if you follow it up with something positive, like, well, I guess I'm going to have to figure it out, or I guess I'm just going to have to, you know, cancel on my friend and hopefully they're down just to watch Netflix, whatever, you know, that's fine. But just being very careful about not being too much of a Debbie Downer, and also, you know, being more empathetic and not judging other people. If you're that person who, when somebody shares something with you, and you know, judge them, people might not want to share things with you later on because you're the person who is constantly bashing them. People don't like that, you know? Just sometimes you got to just listen to the person and just let them vent and things like that. But anyway, so moving on. So, you know, and there is also a difference between arguing and conversing. So you can kind of, and it's okay to have a difference of opinion. You can have a really good conversation with people who think differently than you on certain topics or just in general without belittling them, without debating them and arguing them down and forcing them to take your opinion, take it or leave it type thing. You don't have to be argumentative. You can exchange different ideas. You can bring up different, you know, aspects of a situation to draw attention to them and things like that. You can definitely give your opinion. By all means, give your opinion. And it's okay to say something that's controversial. I think it's okay to do that. But there's no, you don't have to always come to an agreement when you're having like a discussion. Say you guys are debating or discussing a controversial topic or whatever, or you guys are conversing and talking about something that, you know, both of you guys feel very strongly about but very differently about. And it's okay to, you know, recognize and acknowledge their opinion and be like, hey, yeah, like I see where you're coming from, But, you know, I still think that my way is right. Or, you know, you can even say, let's try it your way first. And then if that doesn't work out, let's try it my way. You know, you don't necessarily always have to end a conversation, even if it is on a controversial topic or a topic that both of you guys get heated about, and leave the room, leave the conversation, hang up the phone, annoyed and having an attitude and feeling like, well, then I'm just not going to talk to Susie ever again because she's dumb. Like, no, it doesn't have to be that way, you know. And if you're a person who can take and roll with the punches just as well as you give them out, you know, if somebody critiques you back, like, for example, like how we said, sometimes you do have to critique people. But then if someone else critiques you, or if that person follows up with saying, pointing out something that you've done, and if you're that person who's like, just cannot hear anyone else critique you, then, you know, that's not really being a good conversationalist and being someone who others will want to approach on other topics. So with that, I'm going to take it to my first break. And then when I come back, I'm going to give you guys some more tips on how to hold really good conversations and ways to engage with others without, you know, compromising how you feel about things, but also not belittling and not making others feel like they can never have a say when talking to you. So keep it locked here. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I'll be right back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Pauline, and in today's episode, we are discussing the art of conversation, ways to have deep, meaningful conversations with others, and how to being a good conversationalist without belittling others and without feeling like you're not able to get your point across. And one thing is to always look at someone in their best light. And to try to understand where they're coming from, you know, not looking at someone, even if they are disagreeing with you, but trying to see their side and their point of view and kind of understanding where they're coming from. People always say, you know, take a walk in someone else's shoes, or what would you do if you were placed in that position? And honestly, until we are placed in certain positions, such as, you know, financial strain, or if someone's going through a divorce or something like that, we can't really tell how we would truly react in that situation unless we are in that situation. We can draw from previous experiences, but another person's experience is never going to be exactly like ours. So always trying to put others in their best light. If you're discussing something with, for example, you're discussing something with someone who is younger than you, and they may not have as much life experience. And this, I mean, a tried and true topic, which is easy to talk about, is boyfriends and girlfriends, right? And they're telling you how much that they like someone. And this is the classic example of, for, I'm just going to, you know, use this example of a girl, she likes a boy, but he likes someone else. And sometimes, you know, they don't know why this person's not giving them attention, don't know anything. And you want to tell them, girlfriend, it's because he's interested in someone else. But at the same time, we have to remember that, you know, she can't help her little heart. So you don't want to tell the girl, oh, you're so stupid for liking someone, because, you know, you don't want to criticize her. You don't want to judge a person and things like that. But try to, you know, give your experience and say, you know, usually if someone likes someone else, you should try to just leave it alone. You should be respectful of the relationship. You should, you know, maybe try to see someone else and things like that. But you don't, you know, you can kind of guide them, but you don't want to belittle them, even when you know it's probably not going to turn out correctly. And you can, and you never want to be that person. It's difficult, and it can be difficult to be the I told you so person. Nobody likes an I told you so person. But sometimes, it depending on your relationship with the person, you can say, hey, remember, I told you last week and things like that. But it may not, you know, and just depends on your relationship with that person. But always trying to, you know, look at the good of people and not allowing certain situations to change your outlook on them and not, you know, you don't, you just got to be careful of and looking at people in their best light. And then also going on is asking, now this is kind of taking it back to actual tips and ways to have good conversation, is asking purposeful questions, engaging, you know, asking them if they're discussing a topic. Maybe they're talking to you about something that you have no idea about. Maybe they are talking about some scientific experiment or scientific, you know, result, and you have no idea. Ask questions, engage. Just because you don't know doesn't mean that you can't learn something and that you can't have a fun and meaningful conversation with them. Ask them questions. Ask them, you know, when did you hear about this? Oh, what happened next? So what did you end up doing? So when this happened, how did you react? Asking questions to keep the conversation going. You know, there's nothing worse than when you're talking to someone and you're sharing a story and they're just like nodding their head or oh yeah cool, or not even responding at all. You can tell that one, they're not really engaged and they're not really listening to you and they don't really care. It seems like you, like sometimes when I'm talking to someone and they're kind of just nodding their head or just giving me one word answers and not really engaging, then I realize I'm either A, annoying them, B, you know, taking up some of their time, and they're quite busy and they must be busy doing something else. And I just kind of like let the conversation end because I'm like, okay, I'm clearly bothering you. And so there's nothing worse than making someone feel that they're bothering you. So asking purposeful questions, you know, and even simple questions like, what are you doing later? You know, open-ended questions instead of saying, so are you going straight home? That can kind of be like a yes or no question. But being like, you know, what are you doing after work today? Or what? How was your weekend? What did you do this weekend? And then when they say, oh, for example, like me, usually I watch basketball. So, you know, when I say, oh, I watched a basketball game this weekend. Oh, who was playing? Is a really good follow-up question. Asking follow-up questions to keep the conversation going. Or you can say, oh, who did you go with? Did you guys have a lot of fun? What time did you guys go? Or like, you know, if they're talking to you about their vacation, you could say like, oh, where did you stay? Who did you go with? You know, asking purposeful questions and asking questions, follow-up questions, part two questions, and just engaging with that person and seeming like you are genuinely interested in what they're talking about. And then when they do answer your follow-up question, looking at them and listening to the answer that they're giving you. You know, you can ask a question and say, oh, what did you do this weekend? And they say, oh, I went to a game. And you say, oh, who played? And but you're still typing away on your computer or still looking down at your phone. Then, you know, your mind is elsewhere. You're splitting up your attention and you're not giving your full attention to the person that you are talking to. So, with that, I'm going to cut it to my last break. And then when I come back, I'm going to give you guys some ideas of what I try to do and what I've learned to try to keep engaged and keep the conversation going and keep the person who I'm speaking to engaged. So keep it locked here. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I will be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Pauline, and today we're getting ready to wrap up this episode on the art of conversation. So some things that I do, I wanted to give you guys some tips of some things that I try to do to keep the conversation going or to keep, you know, people engaged, and also what I do to try to let people know that I am engaged. So these are some things that you can do that will help you be a better conversationalist. So one is being just engaged, being present. So that means putting your phone down, looking up from your computer if you are, you know, sitting across from someone at a table, you know, keeping engaged with them, only, you know, looking into them, looking into their eyes, excuse me, looking at them, not wandering, you know, if you're at a restaurant, like sometimes like when you first sit down, you have to look at the menu, but still glancing up to them and nodding. Nodding is a really good way. You know, body language has a lot to do with conversation, and looking up and just nodding at someone shows that you're still engaged and things like that, but really trying to give them your full attention. So trying not to split your attention between the person who's talking to you and other activities or things, just not, you know, truly paying attention, stopping and looking at that person and acknowledging what they are saying. Even if they're just telling you one thing, they're just giving you a statement, like saying, you know, hey, I'm about to use the restroom. You know, I don't know. Like, hey, I'm going to the restroom. I'll be right back. Just looking up from your computer and nodding, saying, all right, cool. You know, just to acknowledge of what they said so that they know that you heard them and that you are aware of what they're doing next, because that's the reason why they told you, is because they want you to know. And then also what I like to do is using personal pronouns. So especially this is really good when you're like in an argument or you guys are discussing something that may be a little bit controversial or may get one of you guys heated, is using the pronouns I. The personal pronoun I. So somebody is getting on you, say they're critiquing you or criticizing you or even yelling at you about something that you've done, that they thought you have done, they're accusing you, whatever. Or they're complaining to you about a situation. You can say, for one, especially if they're mad at you, you can start off by saying, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Or saying, I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. Or say, you know, I see where you're coming from. And then kind of repeating back to them what they said. This is especially good when in like an argument or in a debate, or they're trying to prove something to you, is saying, okay, so from what I understand is you didn't appreciate it yesterday when I forgot to bring in the trash. Or whatever, you know, you could get to argument about anything. It could be as little as taking out the trash. It could be as big as, I don't know. It could be anything, especially with amongst friends and things like that. You could just say, so this is what I'm gathering. So what I heard you say is that you're upset with me for, you know, not bringing in the trash can last night. And then they could say yes. And that gives them the opportunity to say, yes, you heard me correctly. Or no, that's not why I'm mad. I'm mad because you didn't bring the trash can in, but you didn't tell me, so I didn't know where the trash can was. Okay, so now you know exactly why they're upset, and then you can follow up and say, I didn't mean to do that, or you can give your position on it, or you can say, you know, the reason why I didn't bring it in was because. But basically, using personal pronouns is better than accusing them. So it's better than saying, so you're mad at me because I didn't bring the trash can in. No, you know, because then that kind of puts people on defense, or you didn't do this, or you're just mad because of this, or you're just, you know, you're dumb, whatever, you know, using instead of, it doesn't sound as accusatory, kind of puts it on you, and it gives them a way to either, it shows that you're listening, because, you know, you're repeating back to them what they just said, so, and you don't want to miss key parts of what they're sharing with you, and it also gives them the opportunity to correct you and say, no, I'm not really mad about that, or to say, yeah, that's basically why I am mad, or basically why I'm bringing this to your attention. So definitely using I pronouns is also very good in when you apologize and things like that. Also is, I am sorry for doing this. I apologize because I made you feel this way. Or, you know, taking the responsibility of using the I pronoun is really good. And just saying, I'm, you know, and you can even, and I'm not saying that you just give up and things like that, but it gives you an opportunity to show them that you, and now they know that you're listening and that you've acknowledged what they're saying and that you're trying to process what it is that they said, and let's solve this problem, or let's get to this. Another thing is just, and this kind of goes back to being engaged with people, is your body language. So focusing, like standing if you're standing up, you know, making sure your body is facing them. There's nothing worse than somebody speaking to someone who has their back to you, because one, you don't know if they heard you, because you can't tell if they've acknowledged you or not. And two, you know, if you're talking to someone's back, maybe they didn't hear you. Maybe they're not even listening. You don't even know. It's kind of a disrespectful stance to take if you're having a conversation with someone. So body language is definitely a big deal. Not having your arms crossed, not having your hands balled up into a fist, not making a really ugly look on your face, a look of disgust, rolling your eyes and things like that is a good way to show, or, you know, looking at them and not rolling your eyes. Because when you roll your eyes, you could tell when somebody's annoyed. Even yawning can sometimes be considered really rude in conversation because it seems like I'm boring you. You're so tired and so bored with what I'm saying that you're yawning. Pretty bad, right? And so being just aware of what you're doing and how your body looks when someone is talking to you can definitely help you hold a conversation or completely turn someone off from having a conversation with you. It definitely, your body language is a really big deal. And I think also another big thing is just being, and I know that this can be kind of difficult for some people, but is, you know, not interrupting. It's very delicate between interrupting when someone's talking and, you know, actively engaging, because there are times when people are speaking and you want to ask a quick question, or you want to say, oh yeah, me too, and things like that, or girl, that happened to me yesterday. You know, interruptions like that are kind of good. Interjections, I kind of think of those more as interjections rather than interruptions, because an interruption would be like, hold on, or oh, that happened to me, and blah, 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 blah. You keep telling your story when they haven't even finished the rest of theirs. Now, my brothers always crack up, and they always laugh at me because they say that I always interrupt them when they speak. And my brother Thomas one time even said to me, he was like, oh, I'm sorry. Did the end of my story interrupt the beginning of yours? Because sometimes when he's telling a story or bringing us up to date on his life, I will interrupt him and I will start talking about something, or I'll start asking a question. Now, I think this is a tad bit different, and I've been trying to rein that in, especially when I talk to my brothers or talk to people like my family members, because they're used to it and they know that I do that. But then sometimes I go off on a tangent and now we're talking about what I'm talking about, and he never did get to finish the rest of his story. So I have to be careful about that, and that's something that I have to work on, and something that can be really annoying it to others if you do that all the time. And so you have to be very careful about not, you know, letting someone finish their story, and then, you know, you could tell your story or your, you know, how you relate to them and how you feel about that and what happened to you before as well. Definitely share your experiences and things like that, but being careful of interjecting and interrupting, because, well, to me, I believe that they're different, because I think when you you know, laugh out loud at something that someone is saying, or, you know, kind of saying, shut up, that did not happen, when they're telling you a story, it's kind of part of active listening when you're joking at the same time, or, you know, adding to what they're saying. But it's very delicate because you don't want to interrupt and you don't want to take away from what it is that they are saying and things like that, because that can be quite annoying, and it's different than when you're actively engaging. So that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. So basically a recap of how to be a really good conversationalist and to bring it up is to actively listen, be fully engaged, interject, but don't interrupt, and being very careful about body language. Body language, you can say all the right things, but if your body, if your arms are crossed and you're like, I agree with you, but somebody has their arms crossed and they're saying, yeah, I agree with you, you know that they don't really agree with you, or they don't agree with you fully, or maybe now they're just saying, I agree with you, because they're trying to just hurry up and end the conversation. You know, those kind of people. So that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Pauline, and I will talk to you guys next time.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.